guy like Tom Brady. And Byron Leftwich was a guy that a lot of people thought should have been the next head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The only reason why that he didn't get the job was they liked how he interacted with Brady and worked with Brady on a daily basis too much to break that up even a little bit. I think Byron Leftwich is a coach in waiting. I think Byron Leftwich might look at this situation and go, not only do I get to go in and run my offense with an up-and-coming, highly touted quarterback, but in a year's time, I might be able to be elevated to the head coaching job if we do our job and he's still the same guy. So I think Byron Leftwich, to me, would be a guy that would be extremely intriguing in terms of what he brings short-term as an offensive coordinator and what he could bring possibly long-term as a head coach.
Keep me away from what's old boy in Dallas? Kellen Moore. Keep me away from Kellen Moore. I don't want Kellen Moore being my head coach.
I don't believe in him that much either. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny right now going on in Dallas from Dak and all around. I've never been sold on Kellen Moore like the Cowboys seem to have been and didn't want to lose him even when they hired McCarthy. I think he's fine where he's at. I think there are other teams that are probably going to give him a shot. I don't want him here with the Texans. And I think that, you know, you want a guy that is more proven with a longer track record offensively so that you can believe that and you know that that's the guy that's going to be with this quarterback for the foreseeable future.
All right, we're going to get to the Mariners stuff at 2:15. We kind of got sidetracked there a little bit, but we'll talk about the Mariners being a threat at 2:15. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, though, we do it every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. In case we missed it, the stories we've been wanting to get to, we just haven't had a chance. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I tell you about him all the time. Look, if you're out there and you're experiencing hair loss and thinning and balding and you think there's nothing you can do about it but shave your head or go get those sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem, I've got a solution for you. It's called the Neograft procedure. It's basically taking your own hair where you have it and will never lose it, and genetically studies show you're never going to lose it on the sides and in the back, and they take every third or fourth follicle and they move it to where you need it most. Maybe you got the baboon's butt on the top, or maybe your forehead has turned into an 8-head in the front. They can fix it. They fixed mine and gave me my hairline back. Doc Linville said to me, "Joel, you want your old hairline back?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, he showed me pictures and he went through it and he said, "Here, I can get it back again." And he did. And I think that's the main thing to me. He got results. You can check it out too. The Neograft procedure and all the information, go to 975hair.com. Set up an appointment for the free consultation. It normally costs $150. As ESPN listeners, you get it for free. Go in with just a whole notebook full of questions. Ask every one of them, from financing to how long the procedure lasts, the recovery time, when do you start seeing the full results. And the big thing that got me, 95%+ of all of the follicles moved, stay and grow, and are with you for the long haul. That's what really convinced me. I could not have been happier and continue to be happier than I ever thought I'd be with the procedure. Check it out today. Tell him I sent you by. He's the best in the business. He's right here in Houston, Texas. Go see Doc Linville, 975hair.com.
Get low when the whistle goes. Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Join ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Tuesday, November 22nd at Modelo's Sports Cantina in Beaumont. The Killer Bees and the Wheelhouse will be broadcasting live from noon until 7. There will be great food, great drinks, and more at Modelo's Sports Cantina in Beaumont.
RC Ranch is a family-owned and operated Texas-raised Wagyu beef ranch from Angleton, Texas, delivering high-quality meats to your table direct from the source. Visit our 3,000-square-foot butcher shop in the historic Houston Farmers Market. Visit rcranch.com for Thanksgiving specials.
Maestro Dobel is a name to know if you love tequila. Lance Zierlein here, and what I love about Maestro Dobel is the variety of excellent tequilas, all with different flavor profiles. Dobel's Diamante is the world's original Cristalino tequila, made with 100% pure agave and a blend of extra añejo, añejo, and reposado. This tequila is truly unique. You're truly going to enjoy Maestro Dobel tequila. It's perfect to sip and outstanding in a cocktail. Find Maestro Dobel anywhere liquor is sold. Maestro Dobel.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, are giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
What's in the news today?
With so many stories.
Dozens of stories.
We're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with our Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
All right, here's something that I've been dying to talk about. And I've talked to my Aggie friends about this, too. Connor Weigman, who is from the Houston area, really good quarterback. I think he's going to have an NFL career. I don't know when that NFL career is going to come. And I really wish him very well and hope that he can be the guy that gets Texas A&M back on track. The Aggies are not going to a bowl game this year. They cannot get bowl eligible. Right now they have, what is it, three wins. Mm-hmm. They have two games left. They can only get up to five wins. They will not be going to a bowl game this year. The Aggies play UMass this week. This is like that week in the SEC where they're all playing really bad teams. And then they're home for LSU the week after that, Thanksgiving weekend. College football, you can play four games and not burn your red shirt. And I've argued tooth and nail with Aggie fans about this. One of my good friends is an Aggie fan. He says I'm an idiot for thinking along these lines. I'm curious what everybody thinks and what y'all think as well. Why isn't Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M saving the red shirt? There's two games left. Weigman's played in three games. Look, if you want him to get experience against the number six team in the country, LSU, don't let him play against UMass. The argument is, well, he needs to develop. He needs to play in as many games as he possibly can. The development he would get against UMass this weekend is nowhere near as important as saving a potential year. And the argument is, well, he's going to go to the NFL before that, or he's going to transfer before that. Keep the option open. The option being open is far more important than playing against UMass in a day and age of NIL, especially at Texas A&M. He might be better off staying an extra year in college than being a third or a fourth round draft pick.
What position does he play, Jeremy?
Quarterback.
There you go. And what does Jimbo struggle with in terms of getting the right guy? Quarterback.
Outside of Jameis Winston, quarterback.
I mean, yeah, for the length of his career, but specifically at A&M, too. I mean, the one thing we keep saying is he can recruit his tail off. He had the number one recruiting class in the entire country this year. But guess what? He struggles to find a quarterback. Any and every quarterback with all hands on deck that could be there for you for multiple years, that you could extend time with, that you could possibly have something with, you have to keep that door open. And you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. The fact that Jimbo is already being analyzed every different way, this is another one where you go, come on, Jimbo, no matter what you're making and for how long, this is the right move for the university.
But Blankers, I can't believe the amount of Aggie fans that
they're pushing back.
They hate the
what
idea.
What do they want to see in the last two games?
They want to see Weigman play two games and go 2-0 down the stretch. Like, I do not get it.
You got a quarterback controversy if you bring in a five-star?
Like, I don't know. Like, I really don't understand the logic of like, oh yeah, he needs to play UMass. Well, the idea is that he'd be gone before that final year, which okay, like I will concede that. But if there's a 5% chance he'd be playing at Texas A&M on the final year and he's like an NFL third, fourth round quarterback and you pay him $5 million in NIL money to stick around for that final year, just the 5% chance is far more important than playing those Minutemen in football.
I completely agree.
I don't understand where the Aggies are here. Listen to me, Jimbo. Listen to
completely
me.
Completely agree.
Save the red shirt of Connor Weigman. Do it for the best interest of potentially you. All right, Jeff Saturday. He's an NFL coach. I think he sounds like an NFL coach. This is Jeff Saturday. He's undefeated. After starting his career
1-0.
Listen to this guy. Sounds like an NFL coach to me.
Been a tough one on all of you. Can't tell you how proud I am of each and every one of you. Coaches, players, staff, everybody stepped up. All three phases, man. Been a hell of a week, man. Been a tough one on all of you. Can't tell you how proud I am of each and every one of you. Coaches, players, staff, everybody stepped up. All three phases, man. Things we talked about. Offense, ran it for over 200. Threw it for over 200. Defense, shut 28 down, 77 yards rushing. Had to make a play on 17 at the end. What did we do? Make a play at the end. Make a play at the end, man. Hey, make a play at the end, man. Who goes hardest the longest, man? That's how this game is decided. The most physical football team won today. Can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Man.
Why don't they have shirts in Indy that says who goes the hardest, the longest?
They should. They should have that.
That should. That's Jeff Saturday.
I love Jeff Saturday. I've never been a bigger Colt fan in my entire life. I hope they win every game down the stretch.
I know you do.
Postseason. But yeah. here's the thing with Saturday, having a serious conversation for a second. Like, everybody feared that he would be overwhelmed, overmatched, not capable of being an NFL head coach. And look, he still might not be. We're not taking victory laps, like Brendan said yesterday, about one win. One win doesn't prove anything. But he doesn't look overwhelmed.
No.
Like, he looks the part, and I've liked what I've heard.
We've talked about leader of men, right? Certain people have that gene, others don't. Some are leaders, some are followers. Some communicate better than others and can reach people. He can reach people. You can just tell there's a reason why they like him, because he can be tough, but he can be fair. But he's been there and done that enough times in the NFL as a player and a leader in a locker room that he's got the locker room on his side, and that's a really valuable tool. And as we talked about yesterday, this was the perfect time to make this move. You're not going to do this to start a season when every win matters and you're constantly evaluating the franchise to try and make the playoffs. This is a situation where your fate's pretty much already been decided for the playoffs, but the most important thing you can do is evaluate everybody. So why not evaluate a guy that's never been a head coach before and see if he has the stones to do it?
You brought up the situation yesterday. The situation was ideal to do something like this, unlike the Texans who were talking about hiring McCown at the start of the season. Much less than ideal situation. This one for Saturday is ideal. And I tip my cap to the bravado of Jim Irsay, even if they lose every game down the stretch, lose every game the rest of the way. David Carr's brother, Derek, had a bit of a rough go of it, really all season long. He's had a rough go of it. I want you, like, we all know that Derek Carr, David Carr's brother, was crying after the game, got very emotional.
Tough, man.
Is he Anthony Geary, though? Like listen to this. Like, we already know that Derek Carr was crying. But is David Carr's brother crying? Does he sound like a soap opera actor here? Like, legitimately listen to this and tell me if this is a soap opera actor.
No, I love Josh. I love the Carr. I love our coaches. They've had nothing but success. Way more success than I've ever had. And, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off.
Does that not...
pisses a lot of guys off.
It really
does. That's daytime television. That's General Hospital. That's Days of Our Lives.
It's Days of Our Lives, yeah.
I don't think it's fake.
No, it's not
fake. I don't think that it's fake. But it sounds like something you would watch in the middle of the day on network television.
Minus the language, it's either that or a TV evangelist. Like a TV evangelist that's going, we dig deep in our souls every day.
Yeah.
We try and find that inner being that can take us to the next level. And some people just aren't bored with it. And when they're not on board with it, it can make a capsize. And that's what I'm worried about right now, man. I'm just worried about who's going to make it capsize.
So, like, I saw David Carr's, like, I saw the tweets, the headlines, but I didn't actually listen to it till like a day or two later. Like, I saved it on Twitter and watched it like a day or two later. Actually, I watched it that Monday morning. But listening to it, I'm like, this sounds like Days of Our Lives. This sounds like an actor. Like, I don't think that he's acting. I really don't. But I think that if you put that on Days of Our Lives right now, that you wouldn't notice. I really don't think so.
I couldn't agree with you more on this one. You pegged it.
Yasiel Puig. This is a name that we have not heard in a while. Yasiel Puig has agreed to plead guilty to felony charges after lying to federal agents investigating an illegal gambling operation. Carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in federal prison, which is like, come on, Yasiel Puig. Gambling in the country has never been like easier to do. But he was apparently had some big bets, owed a dude like $200,000, eventually paid the dude off. But whenever he got interrogated and asked by authorities, like his involvement, who he knew, all of this, he was lying under oath to all these dudes, all these investigators.
You think licking a bat is smart?
Depends on the bat.
You gonna lick that one?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think licking a bat is smart. I think a thing that's a lot less smart is lying to the authorities. And understanding the ramifications would help too. Yeah, this is not a good look for him. We've seen a lot of bad looks from him in the past. This is one where, I mean, how much time do you think he ends up doing? Because if it's a maximum 5-year sentence,
man, probably not much.
Probably probation and maybe a year or two.
Probably.
Yeah, but still, I hope you learn from your lesson.
Not very smart.
No.
From Yasiel Puig. How quickly a career falls, too. I mean,
right?
Once upon a time, that dude was one of the best outfielders in baseball. And I mean, fell off the face
still
of the earth like that.
Cleveland and somebody else were still taking chances on him.
He was the other part in the Trevor Bauer trade.
Yeah, that's right.
He was the other part of the Trevor Bauer trade. Remember he, like, got into a bench-clearing brawl? after he got traded?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's my favorite Yasiel Puig moment.
Leaving Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
I think that was right.
He was with the Guardians. He's with the Guards.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
He got traded. I think he was going to the Guards. He was with Cincinnati.
Yeah, and the Reds traded for Bauer.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and he got in the fight with the Reds.
Yep,
his last salvo as a member of the Red Stockings. All right, in case we missed it, we do it every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. All right, finally, let's get into that Mariner conversation. Is Seattle a threat to the Astros in 2023? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All right, before we do that, let's do the Apollo Men's Health mention because of the fact that Apollo Men's Health is helping people on a daily basis, and they can help you too. You're not trying to win a gold medal at this stage in your life. You're trying to win the day, and winning the day means that you're getting everything done at work, and you're getting that honey-do list done and all the to-do list. You're getting to the gym. You're doing things with your family and your kids. And you're sleeping right so that you can do it all again the very next day. If you're falling short in several of these areas or even just one of them and you want help, go to see the people at Apollo Men's Health. For both men and women, it starts with hormone therapy or could be as simple as a B12 shot every week like I get. It can help you find more energy on a daily basis. If you are getting into the gym and you want help getting started and you want a way to monitor your successes, you can get a full body composition analysis and then every so often do another one to see how your muscle mass has gone up, your weight loss has gone down, your body fat has gone down. Key numbers that can help you stay motivated. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies or fat burners, they got those too. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. The whole process starts by you going to apollomh.com and booking your first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Just go in with an open mind. Answer their questions. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get your results. You're going to be pleased with those people because if your health truly is your wealth, you need to invest in yourself with the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine and More, find bourbons and cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice, the bottle's so perfect and perfectly priced. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat, grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
Find what you love, love what you find. Always lowest prices at Total Wine and More. Delivery available. Drink responsibly, B21.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You know sports, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? MyBookie.ag has the biggest online selection of odds and contests for all your sports betting needs, anytime, anywhere. It's truly amazing. Bet on the NFL, NCAA, or swing for the fences with the brand new money bag. The MyBookie money bag is a one-of-a-kind opportunity to spin for crazy odds on props and futures. Just place your bet, spin the wheel, and get ready to score epic odds on the best teams, athletes, and events. Sign up free today and use promo code BET975 and get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Again, that's promo code BET975 to claim your deposit bonus and give yourself the competitive edge. Turn your picks into winners at mybookie.ag. It's not just a sports book, it's a community. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Seattle made a baseball trade today. I need my baseball bat when I talk baseball. Teoscar Hernandez is headed to Seattle. Former Astro Teoscar Hernandez. Remember who the All-Star Astros gave up for Teoscar? Or who Teoscar they traded Hernandez. For?
Oh, I do. That's your boy.
Francisco Liriano, who did get an out, I think, in Game 7 of the World Series in 2017. So it was all worth it. It's all worth it.
Was it?
No, it was not. That was a bad trade. One of Jeff Luno's worst trades, actually. I would say that that was his second worst trade that he's ever made, off the top of my bald head. The first one would be the Milwaukee trade, where he traded Hader for Carlos Gomez, Fires, and then... You know, mm-hmm.
And that all, Mike we Flyers, know how that worked out.
His worst move, though, was flat out releasing J.D. Martinez, and J.D. Martinez turned into one of the best right-handed hitters in all of baseball. So Luno, even Luno, is not invincible. Even Luno is not perfect. But anyways, Teoscar Hernandez is on the move. He's been traded to Toronto, from Toronto to Seattle. Toronto's getting back Eric Swanson, who was really good this year, really good reliever, and then a left-handed pitching prospect named Adam, I believe it's pronounced Mako, which is a really good last name. I actually like the Toronto side of this trade. I like the Toronto side of this trade more than I like the Seattle side of this trade. Now, Seattle's getting a legit 30 home run potential dude.
Yeah, who are they replacing him? Would be my question. If Toronto's got a loaded farm system and they've got a young stud outfielder that can replace him, then you know it's much like the Luno move you alluded to, or even the click move in moving a Toro. You know there was no place and no room in the infield for him to ever break through on a regular basis. So you did a solid both ways. You got a player in return you could use. You got a guy to a place where maybe he could play, and it's a win-win. I don't know if who Toronto has to replace Teoscar Hernandez, but with a team that was that close, loaded with that much talent, to just kind of unload one of their better players, it's a bit surprising.
He's on his final year of his
deal
next year.
He's got a free agent in 20. Yeah.
Next year's the final year, and I kind of like looked at, because I would have liked to be in the Teoscar Hernandez conversation if I'm from an Astro perspective, because the Astros currently need a left fielder DH, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have one currently. Yordan Alvarez is your other left fielder DH, so you need somebody to share left fielder DH with Yordan Alvarez. I would have loved it to be Teoscar Hernandez at the right price.
Right.
So I kind of like looked at the comparison of what Eric Swanson and Adam Mako would have looked like from an Astros perspective. Eric Swanson had like a sub-125 ERA this year. He has years of club control. That comparison's Brian Abreu. And then like a second-tier prospect. If you're the Astros, you trading Brian Abreu and a second-tier prospect for 1 year of Teoscar Hernandez?
No, sir.
I'm not. That's why I like the Toronto side of it. Now, to your point, they got to replace the bat. I saw that they're looking at Nemo from the Mets. So if you can sign Nemo, then you got what you got for Teoscar Hernandez, that's a huge win for Toronto.
It is, because that's the one thing that surprised me. I said leading up to, I think it's tonight, but you know, there's a lot of teams that are trying to unload a whole lot of guys.
It was yesterday because they had to put the 40-man together.
Right. Okay, yeah. For the 40-man. So there was a lot of teams like the Rays, like very frugal, financially responsible teams that were expected to be unloading. I didn't expect Toronto to be one of those teams. So it really was a head-scratcher for me as to why you're giving up an all-star outfielder. No matter what you get in return, I don't think it's equal value. But if you go out in the free agency market and get a guy that you think is an upgrade that can help you, and it's going to be more long-term than with 1 year left of Teoscar Hernandez, then it makes sense to me. From a Mariners perspective, it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense, because this is a team that, aside from Ty France and J-Rod, looked like a team that never threatened to do anything to the Astros, never worried me, and looked like they had more holes than they had solutions throughout their lineup. You know their pitching staff is better than average. I mean, their pitching staff, they went out and spent a lot of money. They've got a combination of youth and veterans that have a solid rotation. They have good bullpen. They need help in their lineup. The fact that instead of trying to hopefully see results from guys that they handpicked, drafted, and are raising through their system that haven't turned out, like Kelenic, and others, I think this is a big move for them that shows they're in full go-for-it mode, and sure, it's something that the Astros need to pay attention to.
I mean, it could be a win-win. Like, I don't hate this from Seattle at all. I prefer the Toronto side of it, but it makes total sense for Seattle. The biggest weaknesses that they had was offense around Julio Rodriguez. You mentioned Ty France, who I think Ty France is a really good hitter, underrated hitter, but still not like this superstar.
No, and they traded for Winker, who's been a stinker, and you know they have other opportunities that they've dabbled in that haven't panned out for them. The former All-Star second baseman
Frazier.
But this is a move that is significant, if for no other reason than making the statement that we're going to start to get to full go-for-it mode here this offseason.
Yeah, and I think that they are, and I understand the trade from a Seattle perspective. It makes them a lot better offensively for 2023. Now, I'm sure Seattle is going to try their best to lock up Teoscar Hernandez. They locked up Luis Castillo weeks after they traded for him. So I do think that Hernandez is part of Seattle's long-term plans. So now that they've added a bat, we know that Julio Rodriguez, this budding star, AL Rookie of the Year, Jeremy Pena finished fifth, by the way, which is good that he didn't finish in the top two, because it means the Astros have another year of club control, by the way. I digress. Seattle is better, I think, this year than they are last year. Adding Teoscar Hernandez helps them. They didn't even really use the reliever we were just talking about. I think he was hurt in the playoffs, actually. So, like, he didn't give them a lift in the postseason. Are the Mariners a threat in the American League West?
I think they're the only threat that the Astros need to worry about. How big of a threat and how significant a threat, we have to see the rest of the offseason play out and see just how aggressive they get in terms of go-for-it mode. But I think that the A's don't concern anyone. The Rangers still aren't there. I look at this and say, look, if there's one team other than the Yankees, and you saw them in the playoffs, and you saw that, hey, look, that we talked about it. That was the most hard-fought sweep. In fact, you played two full games to get the third game of the sweep executed. That enough says that that's a team that's on the rise up. Now they're making moves like this. I think that they are the team that the Astros have to keep an eye on in the division. And outside of the Yankees, I think they may be the team that might be the most competitive by trying to be as aggressive as they can this offseason.
Anybody can beat anybody once you get to the playoffs in a playoff series. Mm-hmm. As far as the AL West race, I don't view the Mariners as a threat. I don't think twice about Seattle entering the start of the season. I think Seattle's better than they were a year ago. But knowing how good the Astros are, Seattle doesn't even enter the conversation for me as being capable of winning the American League West. I think they're the second best team in the AL West. I don't think they're in the same league as the Houston Astros.
No, not yet, but I'm saying we don't know what they're going to do the rest of the offseason. You know, they could be, you know, selling it all out, going for broke, and trying to add whoever they can possibly add. You see the Angels finally adding pitching. You know, if the Angels ever could get everything to, you know, put together and stay healthy and guys pan out, they've spent enough money to where they should be a lot better than they are, but their bugaboo has always been they never get pitching that can come close, and their hitting always gets hurt. So the Angels don't concern me. When I look at a Mariners team, it seems like they've been constructed the right way for the most part. They've done the nice combination of youth that they've brought up through their system and drafted appropriately, veterans that they've gone out and either traded for and or paid for in free agency. And the culmination of all that is a team that finally made the playoffs this year, and it looks like they could take a couple steps forward with moves they continue to make. The other big thing is, if the Yankees lose Aaron Judge, no matter how they try and replace him, and with all the money in the world, I think that's a step back for them. And I think of the teams that made the playoffs that looked like they were going to be contenders at some point going forward, I think those are the two biggest possible contenders in the American League.
Yeah. Even if Seattle added like Verlander and Judge, I still don't think they win the American League West.
Ooh.
No, and they're not going to. I mean, that's
no, they're not going to. There's no way that happens.
$90 million.
But with those two guys added to what they already have,
nah.
You'd have to think
Astros
that they were
so deep.
And I'm not saying I don't think they're better than the Astros, but I think you would have to respect them as a contender.
Look, I respect them. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I just don't think they're going to come close to winning the American League West. Lemmy says yes. The Mariners are a threat. The Mariners traded for Teoscar, and that lineup was already salty. I would disagree a little bit there.
Salty.
It might be salty now. They filled an outfield need. If the Stros don't upgrade center field and first base, then the Mariners are every bit as dangerous. They also have decent pitching. Yeah, I still don't think that offense is as good. Even if the Astros like come back with Yuli and you know, who knows, they do need a left fielder.
Brantley or whoever.
I don't need a center fielder like Lemmy, but I do need I do need a left fielder. The pitching though is where the biggest gaps at.
Yep.
Even if the Astros lose Verlander, the Astros still have a strong 6-man rotation. Even if they lose Verlander, they have a strong 6-man rotation, and they return everybody on what was the best bullpen in the ERA in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitching staff is unbelievable. Offensively, yeah, they need to add some pieces, but they still have a foundation even before you talk about additional pieces of Altuve, of Jeremy Peña, of Yordan Alvarez, of
Bregman.
Alex Bregman, of Kyle Tucker. They still have a strong top five in the batting order before you talk about any other additions to that lineup. So the Astros are just loaded, man.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yeah, it's two conversations. It's who's the biggest competition to the Astros, and then are they better than the Astros? I don't think they're better than the Astros, and I don't know all the other moves that they have up their sleeve. I don't see them making enough moves to be better than the Astros. But can they be the best competition for the Astros? Sure they could. And you know, Eugenio Suarez at third base and some of the other things that they got to look at. You know, J.P. Crawford is shortstop. He's fine. I think he's an above-average shortstop.
Good
and
defender,
offensively,
too.
Yeah, he can hit. But, you know, it was basically France and Rodriguez, and if you got by those two guys, you were good. So now you add another bat that you have to be respectful of, and you see what else they do the rest of the regular season. But I'm with you. I don't think they have the pitching staff. I don't think they have the complete lineup that the Astros have. And it's two conversations. Are they going to be maybe their biggest competition? Very possible. Are they going to be a team that can beat the Astros? I don't think so.
713-780-ESPN. The Mariners a threat. 713-780-3776. Our HRNP listener line. So Brendan's friends don't like him a whole lot. Are you a ringer guy, vibrate guy on your phone? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Got to tell you about Gentle Ben. I'm a Gentle Ben guy. Brendan's friends don't like him, but I love Gentle Ben, and Gentle Ben loves me. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. Gentle Ben Spirits does it all. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben. Compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste the huge difference that I did. And whenever I tasted that first Gentle Ben, I've been a Gentle Ben man ever since, and so will you. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You know you can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine. You can find it at Specs. You can find it online, gentleben.com. You can go to the tasting room in Alvin to get it there as well. If you're at a Rockets game, stop by the Gentle Ben Bar on the main concourse inside the Toyota Center. If you need a place to host a private party or event, how about the tasting room in Alvin? But the big news with Gentle Ben right now, the bourbon is out for public consumption. You don't have to go to the tasting room in Alvin anymore to find the bourbon. The bourbon is being sold on the market. That double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. 10 different specs in the city of Houston. Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue. Potter's Liquor in Friendswood. Reserve Liquor in League City. Get your hands on the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards, that Gentle Ben bourbon. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC, only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags.
William Price Distilling is Houston's unofficial headquarters of that giant soccer tournament. Watch parties for all 7 a.m., 10 a.m., and 1 p.m. games, as well as all Mexico, USA, England, Brazil, and Argentina matches. You can catch every game at William Price Distilling on the 20-foot screen. Locally roasted Katz's coffee, breakfast, and a full bar available for all matches. Want to throw your own watch party? Go to WilliamPriceDistilling.com. William Price Distilling, Houston's unofficial headquarters of that giant soccer tournament.
He started cracking up.
This Thanksgiving, look your best for family and friends. Let Rooster's Men's Grooming Center help take your appearance to the next level.
I've been
Rooster's
saying,
Men's
Dickie
Grooming Center is in West Shoe, Cinco Ranch, Pearland, Tanglewood, and now open in spring.
And then randomly last week, our 9-year-old was like running up and down the hall, and he started yelling, Dickie, because he's a diaper dandy. Because he's a 3D man, dry, draw, dish.
The industry leader in oil spill cleanup products and have dealt with numerous oil spill disasters. Knowing up close what a disaster looks like, we have chosen to avoid them in our offices. So we called HR&P. HR&P guides us through the landmines of HR, payroll, and benefit compliance so my team can focus solely on helping our clients with their problems. Having HR&P just makes sense.
Get started at HRP.net.
John Granato here for Artisan Grange's Dew Blend and Canstead. A new way to dip. Go to 975dip.com and see how you can dip safer, cleaner, and healthier. Instead of addictive tobacco, you get hemp pouches that give you the taste and sensation you're used to, but with hemp and CBD. Now, legally, I can't tell you you'll feel better, but guys are raving about the CBD effects. Choose from traditional tobacco flavors or original new flavors like mint, berry, citrus, and more. Learn more at 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brendan's friends don't like him. See, we like Brendan, but we're not his friends. So, like, that's the caveat there. That's the difference. Brendan was telling us before the show, because we're going to have this conversation with your phones. Are you a ringer guy? Are you a vibrate guy? I have a little bit of a plot
twist. Ever since Phil Simmons, I'm not a ringer guy.
Okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Brendan, you said your friends silence your notifications?
I didn't say it quite like that.
That's how I understood it.
So when you text people on an iPhone, if they have notification silence, it'll tell you.
Only person I've seen that from is Ted Pardee.
Well, Jake does that a lot.
Really? I don't text Jake.
I don't remember where.
Jake's kind of a big deal.
I mean, I think he's like doing work, right? Like he's busy. But it happens almost every time I text Jake. I see notification silence.
Real quick, what is the point of silencing your notifications?
So your phone doesn't notify you? So you can.
Why wouldn't you want the notification?
Yeah.
That's where I wanted to go with this originally. I was curious if people do this, because to me it's weird.
I want
me too.
I want the new messages and the new inbox emails and things like that. I want to know that right away.
See, I limit what I get notifications on. Like, the only notifications I get are email, text, and phone. Everything else is
I don't want the new Twitter responses. No. I don't want Facebook. I don't want all that. But I do want texts, calls, and email.
But I have noticed, like, Jake's not the only person. Like, I got a lot of friends now where every time I text them, it says, like, notification silenced. And I never, until I was telling you guys about it, I never once questioned the possibility that it's just my notifications that are silenced. I just assume that's how they operate.
No, I've only seen it with one person. So, yeah, I don't know if your friends are doing it only to you or if this is, like, all-encompassing, doing
weird,
it across
though,
the
right?
board. Your friends?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
I mean, you are the company you keep, but...
But I mean, for doing that.
I don't understand the point of silencing the notifications. I really don't. Now, we asked the question, like, ringer versus vibrator. I'm neither.
I mean, vibrate.
I mean, the phone vibrates. Yeah, that's what I said.
Lance may use it, if you've heard the promos, Lance uses his as a vibrator from time to time, but it's vibrate, not vibrator.
I've not heard those promos. Anyways, like, I turn off the ringer and the vibrate. I don't have either one on. Unless I'm on the road and, like, I turn the ringer on whenever I go to sleep. But if I'm awake and I'm at home, the ringer and the vibrate is off completely. Oh. So I guess that's kind of the same thing as silencing the notifications. Now, I can see the text on the phone saying, you know, I have a new text, I have somebody calling, but my phone is completely silent at all times unless I'm out of town in a hotel.
I don't think I was 13 the last time I had a ringer on my phone.
But the vibrate,
I agree with
on.
That.
All the time.
Yeah, I don't even have the vibrate on.
I say I always use vibrate. I keep it on vibrate.
Yeah.
It drives Lisa nuts. As a parent, I'm not supposed to do that.
That
there's no way.
Or that you don't have
vibrate,
a ringer on.
Vibrate. No ringer and vibrate. She's like, that's not good enough. You have to hear it at all times. You have to respond immediately. I'm like, we're both in the same business in different mediums. The fact is there's going to be times we can't answer immediately. I don't miss your texts or your calls. I know when you call and I respond. But the fact that it drives her nuts that it doesn't make a noise and that I don't respond sometimes quick enough, I kind of think that's another reason why I like it where it's at and I keep doing it and leave it on vibrate, because I don't think it's necessary. And I also would like to border on not being rude, whether we're on the air. And we hear this all the time. We take calls and otherwise, or have guests on when their computer and or their phone's going nuts. It's not a good look and sound. And I don't think it's professional. And I also want to be respectful of everybody around me, too. Like, I don't want my phone going off at the wrong time.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't think anybody keeps the ringer on. I think your wife is like, Jeremy said parents.
First of all, look what she does. She doesn't keep the ringer on, but I should.
Nobody does.
Well, so, yeah, what is...
Oh, but by the way, at home, she does.
Why does
she
want
your... When she's not on the air, she does.
Why does she want your ringer on?
She thinks that it's a guarantee that I will get the message immediately and be able to respond.
Is she right?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, then I can understand the point.
Well, I mean, sometimes, but look, she has an out that says there's something with our house where sometimes if I call and I call her on the fact that, well, your ringer was on, you didn't respond to me. Oh, I didn't get it. I don't think it's something with this house. I don't think I'm getting all your messages and your calls. Well, I cry BS on that, too, because the fact is you can't have it both ways. Your ringer's got to be on all the time, too, which it's not because of the work that we do.
Yeah.
But at least at home, hers is on, mine is not.
I might be the single person in the in this country that has a cell phone that uses my cell phone to call people. I almost never use my cell phone to call people. Very rarely am I calling anybody on a cell phone. Is it weird?
Yeah.
Is it weird?
No.
I think it's a generational thing.
No, I think text is the number one go-to, but there are times or things that are going on in your life on a daily basis where you have to call people.
Joel and I are both callers, but I think you are in the vast majority.
I will do everything possible to never call, period.
See, I think the fact that you can put an end game on any conversation whenever you want or continue it whenever you want is why most people these days go text versus call. But I legitimately care about my friends.
I do too, but I'm not going to call them. I'm going to text them.
And I don't think they're weird. At least some of them aren't. But there are times that I just reach out to them to say, hey, man, it's been a while since we caught up. What's going on? And just to show that I care enough to see what's going on in their lives as opposed to texting, I think it's very impersonal in that way if it's someone that you truly care about.
I think people that know me, too, have learned that I don't like the phone and will never call
me. I'm telling you, I think, Jeremy, you are so far and away more normal here.
You think so? I think so, too.
In our age range, at least. I know you and I are close enough that I'm going to say are there.
Yeah.
I think I do. I think, like, people under, I don't know, 35, 40, like, I don't think they're using their phones to call.
It's the commercial, right? It's the commercial with the guy that teaches people not to be like their parents that says, what's wrong with this? The fact of the matter is that, you know, you left a voicemail. Everything is done through text.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be like your father or be like your parents.
Your parents, yeah.
But I look at my phone and, like, I bet you I couldn't go back. I'd have to go back months to find a week where I didn't have a single call that was, like, not worth, like, you know, personal related phone call at least once a week.
If I looked at my phone and looked at my missed calls, they would all be red. Every single one of them. I do not answer the phone either, like, unless I know you.
But if you missed a call and it was someone that you care about, you can call them back or are you going to text them?
If it's my mom or my wife, I'll call them back.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
If it's somebody else, I'll be like, hey, I'm busy. What do you need? I'll send them a text. Like, I'll avoid it at all costs. I think that Lisa's a little weird here for wanting your ringer to be on at all times. Now, the vibration, like,
she understands when we're on the air.
Yeah.
But other than that, she thinks it should be on, and I completely disagree.
Especially if she's not turning it on.
Yeah.
Like, that's that's hypocritical a little bit.
Around the house, she has to leave it on because she has no idea half the time where her phone is, and that's the way she finds it, along with the tracking feature on her Mac. But the fact, most of the time, she's like, babe, can you call my phone? I don't know where I left it. I don't know where it's at. I'm like, I always know where my phone is.
Yeah. See, I always know where mine's at, but I never have it on vibration. I never have the ringer on unless I'm away from my house and I'm scared that I need to answer.
If you have a hard surface table or something like that and you put your phone down, at least with vibrate, you know where it is or you can find it and it's not, like, annoying to everyone around you.
Yeah. And so, Brendan, you're a vibration guy, too? You turn the ringer
you
off?
You asked this
the
so vibrate. Weird.
See, I told you.
Vibrate on?
Yeah.
It's foreign to me. I don't use it.
I think I switched my phone to vibrate at, like, 13, 14 years old and never looked back. The ringer's annoying as
hell.
So
is the vibration, though.
I don't know. I don't even, like, really notice it. It's just, like, a minor alert. Like, I feel like I grew up with that. For me, that's just, like, a minor alert that, like, hey, you got a reason to look at your phone. Now, when you're in group chats, and I'm in many.
Oh, listen to this guy. Look at that flex. I got a lot of friends with a lot of groups.
Not saying that.
He calls them all weird, but he participates in multiple group chats.
A bunch of weird group chats.
You could make the case that it makes me a loser how many group chats I'm in.
We could make that case.
There are times where my phone is going off, you know, nonstop for a little while, and that could get a little annoying. I couldn't even imagine being in my group chats with my ringer on. I couldn't turn my mic on the show.
See, I'm in group chats too, but I turn the notifications off the group chats. Like, I don't even get notifications on when the group chat's talking.
I need all the dopamine hits.
To me, I'm always trying to be respectful of others. Like, the people at the gym that decide that even with earbuds, if you aren't even using earbuds and you're using speakerphone at the gym, you should be banned from the gym. And secondly, if you're, like, on a machine or something like that and you have earbuds on, but you're having a full-blown conversation and you don't realize how loud you are having that conversation and you're not respectful of others, that's annoying. And even more so annoying is when you're working out and the people's phones are ringing and going off all over the place, movies, gym, grocery store. I'm trying to be respectful of others.
I know there's some people on the lineup at this station that watch the phone on their toilet in our bathrooms, on this floor. Like, I know that exists. Like, I couldn't imagine listening to something on the toilet where other people can hear. In a public restroom.
I've already told you about it.
At your own place, I can understand. But a public restroom? That's bizarre. That's very, very
the
weird.
The dude that doesn't work here but had office space on this floor previously that used to go into the men's room. And then when someone called him out for the echo because he was on the John talking on the phone, said, I'm in the car wash. You lion sack of you know what? I will make grunt noises and fart if I can just to make sure they realize you're not in a car wash. You're in a toilet.
Jasper says, I only answer the phone for three people, my wife, my son, and my secretary. Everyone else gets the can't talk what's up text. I wonder if Jasper's wife knows that one of the three people that he answers the phone to is his secretary. You think Mrs. Jasper?
Wonder if it's on vibrate.
You think Mrs. Jasper is aware of that? That he always answers the phone for the secretary? I wonder. 713-780-ESPN. Let's ask a Will Houseman what their stance is on the whole ringer vibrator thing. And are the Mariners a threat in the American League West?
You're proud of yourself on
that,
aren't you?
It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.5. 2-5. You know what season it is right now? It's basketball season. College basketball has been in action for about a week and a half. College basketball in the city tonight. NBA's been in action for quite some time now. The weather is much better. You don't go outside and immediately sweat. So you need a goal from ProDunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true, authentic feel. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. Lower it down, throw down some jams. Raise it up to regulation if your kid working on their game. Competition breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking, as we were talking about. Perfect for hanging. Perfectly for keeping you safe whenever you're throwing down some jams. Also, an extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim, keeping you and your loved ones safe. Durability is a strength of ProDunk Hoops. Stainless steel fasteners. Thicker steel. An exclusive rust armor, making them sturdy and strong. My favorite feature is they'll install the goal. You don't have to do anything. You watch TV, and the pros at ProDunk Hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't install. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. It'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The housing market is changing fast. So if you're thinking of upgrading, downsizing, or just looking for something new, that's where NASA Federal comes in with the Launchpad Home Loan. First up, there's no money down, so you can use your hard-earned savings for something else. Next, there's no PMI, so that saves you even more money every single month. It's an easy app with fast approvals, saving you time, locking in rates, and potentially giving you an edge when competing against other buyers. NASA Federal is a not-for-profit cooperative focused on the financial needs of its members, and that can be you. You don't have to be an astronaut to join. We already have those. The NASA Federal Launchpad Home Loan. Learn more at nasafcu.com/ESPN. That's nasafcu.com/ESPN. NASA Federal. Smart. NASA Smart. Equal housing lender. Insured by the NCUA. Offer valid on approved credit for primary residences. Membership eligibility required. Other restrictions apply. NMLS number 486583.
This is Attorney Eric Dick. If you had damage to your home or business as a result of the 2021 freeze, call me right now at 877-7-FREEZE. That's 877-7-FREEZE. Home insurance companies are in the business of making money, not paying out claims. That's why you get a home insurance attorney like me to help you with your claim. Don't delay. Call me right away at 877-7-FREEZE. If your pipes burst from the winter freeze in 2021, call me right now at 877-7-FREEZE. That's 877-7-FREEZE. You have the right to hire an attorney. You have the right to call me for a free consultation at 877-7-FREEZE. That's 877-7-FREEZE. Call me today. This is Attorney Eric Dick, and my principal office is in Houston, Texas. Call me right now at 877-7-FREEZE. Call me.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, before we go any further with BK, the man who needs no Doc Linville for that upper lip, if you need Doc Linville in your life, or maybe you don't know, but you could use him, let me tell you about the NeoGraft procedure. It's awesome. It is a procedure for your hair. If you've got a baboon's butt showing on the back of your head, or your forehead has become an 8 head, and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you absolutely can. Doc Linville and his staff have the NeoGraft procedure right here in Houston, Texas, and it is going to be a game changer because it takes your own hair, where genetically you're always going to have it, sides and back, takes every third or fourth follicle, moves them to where you need them, and they stay and they grow and they last. 95%+ success rate is all I need to tell you. That's what convinced me. But if you need all the details and want to see if it's right for you too, you can meet with Doc Linville and his staff for free. It normally costs $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and sign up for an appointment. It's free. Ask all the questions. Get all the answers. See if it's right for you. It was right for Jake and me and John Granato too. Be next in line. Check it out and see if it's right for you. It's 975hair.com. Go see my friend Doc Linville.
BK is hanging out with us. I don't know, actually.
Yeah, you do.
And BK was giving me the eyes.
That is the worst face in the world for someone that really thinks that I should believe you don't know.
BK and I had an awkward glance at each other. Mm. We really did. It had nothing to do with you.
Mm. Can we do this over text?
Yeah, we could.
We need to do crosstalk in person.
We could. You, the guy that works with guys for multiple hours but shows up a second before, tells you everything you need to know. You are that guy because you don't want to talk to either one of those guys on the phone.
I actually do enjoy talking to people on the phone.
Really?
But those two guys.
No, I see those guys.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. Normally, I enjoy talking to people on the phone, especially when I'm driving. I like talking when I'm driving.
I agree with that.
But so I think I'm probably in between where you guys are.
Talking on the phone and texting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very much a texter. I hate being on the phone.
I'm on the phone every day driving to the show.
Really? Yeah, yeah. You're also on the phone whenever you walk in and you interrupt our conversations.
What?
Yeah, every single time that Brendan and I are talking about the show, you walk in and you're on the phone and you interrupt our conversations.
I rarely take my phone with me when I don't know what you're talking about.
Whenever you walk into the bullpen.
Oh, the bullpen.
You're always on your phone and interrupting conversations that are being had in the bullpen.
At least you indirectly got that message out.
I don't think it was indirect at all. I think it was very direct.
I think he's listening.
I think it was very direct.
Paul Gallant experience when he's walking in, making sure he knows.
I listened
what
to that on the way
doing.
In too. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about this driving in. I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb 24/7, 365.
Really?
Now I have it set up to where it vibrates when I get calls from contacts, from people in my contacts list.
Oh,
but text, I don't hear anything or feel anything. Emails, tweets, Instagram, like no notifications on my phone. I don't want it.
Yeah. See, I'm close to that. Other than I see it, right? Because I don't have the sound on and I don't have the vibration on. But I do see a text, I do see a phone call, and I do see an email, and that's it. All the other notifications are turned off. So why do you do that? What's the purpose behind that?
Try to spend less time on my phone. I'm already on my phone more than I would like to be, and I don't want to look at it a whole bunch of times whenever it starts to ring or vibrate. So just in an effort to spend less time staring at a screen, I keep it on Do Not Disturb.
I like that. I'm going to try to be more like BK going forward.
Usually a bad idea, but thank you.
During showtime, I think it could be a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it might be something that he should consider.
Oh, well, that'd be tough
that
for you.
The big thing for me is social media shouldn't matter that much. But like, if it's someone that's truly reaching out that I know that's trying to reach me via email, text, or call, that's why I get the notification. That's why my phone vibrates.
You guys have kids.
Yeah.
I don't have kids. I don't have a wife. Like, when I get to that point, then I'm not going to be able to get away with it.
I think that's
anymore.
A good point, too. I think that's the biggest factor, too, is if it's the school calling or, you know, someone's sick or my wife is saying, hey, we need, you know, something popped up for Taylor and Maddie, I got to be responsive to that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that.
You
guys are good parents.
Yeah.
Better than I am.
Not Blank. Blank's a great parent. I was talking about more. Yeah. Yeah, better than you are. You have it incomplete there. I wanted to ask two things about you today.
Okay.
First off, it is No Shave November. Is that the reason behind the mustache?
Movember.
Movember?
Trying to raise money and awareness for
men's
health
issues. Okay,
you
started this before November.
I started this a week before because it was a part of the Halloween costume this year, but it will end at the end of November.
It's coming off. You don't like it.
I like it for a month out of the year.
Can you trim it? Are you allowed to?
Yeah, I'm allowed.
Are you going to have the snuffleupagus just getting in your teeth by the end of November?
Do I need to trim it now? It's
getting
close.
Fuzzy.
Yeah.
Get a little fuzzy.
I want to see a little Raleigh finger action. That's what I want to see.
All the way down?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that.
I think you can.
Okay.
I think you
can
pull it
off. Do you prefer a Raleigh finger or a Raleigh fingers?
I know what the women ordering from Jeremy Pena at Raising Cane's a couple of days ago preferred. The three-finger combo.
I saw that on Twitter.
You like
went
that?
A little far.
Yeah. Thought that was me originally, but
No, caught that one. Mm-hmm.
Secondly, why are you decked out in Kansas?
They won last night.
Is that
big
why?
Big win over Duke.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering.
Big win over Duke in football this year. Big win over Duke in basketball this year.
They own Duke.
They own Duke. Yeah, big win for the Hawks. Hopefully my Longhorns pick up a big win tonight, too.
Who do they? They have
they
Gonzaga.
They got Gonzaga.
Yeah. Coming to Austin.
Yeah. Big one. Speaking of mustaches.
Maybe one of the few times that Houston pulling for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
Drew Timmy and his footwork.
I was going to talk about that on the show. Like, I feel like it's sacrilegious for U of H fans to root for UT, but hey, in an effort to move up in the rankings, I think you need the Longhorns to win tonight, no?
Where's Andrew may be rooting for your Longhorns tonight.
Yeah,
I wonder. I don't know. I'm genuinely curious about that. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm a Cougar. I don't really care either way. Like, it'd be great to move up. It'd be great to see Texas lose. Like, both things are good. It's kind of a win-win. I'm curious if you polled Houston Cougar fans what they would rather see. Hatred for UT is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah. I think that they'd probably rather have Gonzaga win. I think it'd be close, but I think they'd probably rather have Gonzaga win.
What happens when UT takes Kelvin Sampson away from Houston?
Ain't happening.
No, I'm just kidding.
Ain't happening. Is that game in Austin?
It is. Yeah, at the new Moody Center.
Okay.
So should be a good atmosphere, good environment. Yeah. These teams played last year in the Kennel. Gonzaga much better. They won pretty handily. But Texas, I think a one-point favorite going into this game.
I think it's interesting, too, regardless of where the Cougs sit right now in the top three, the betting odds say that they're the number one favorite to win it all, that they were flashing last night on the crawl on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Saw that on SVP last night. Yeah. Yep. Look, I put money on Houston to win the title before the season started. I think they're the best team. They've looked better than UNC, who struggled with Gardner-Webb last night.
Yeah.
Gonzaga barely beat Michigan State. I know Michigan State beat Kentucky in double overtime, but like Gonzaga doesn't look to be the same team. Houston hasn't played anybody that good yet, but they've dominated their first three.
Kentucky looks like a one-man show, because when he fouled out, that game was over.
That was over. So I think the Cougs are the best team in college basketball right now. Jeremy, you obviously know more about this than I do. The lack of rim protection scares me a little bit, just because there are so many dominant bigs in college basketball this year. But, I mean, I don't even call that a weakness. Like, that's sort of the one mini question I have about U of H. Otherwise, they seemingly have every box checked. They're legit.
Yeah. I don't worry about the rim protection as much as you, I suppose. Okay. Like, I think Jairus Walker's fine in that spot. Juwan Roberts fine in that spot. Reggie Chaney's not the tallest center, but fine in that spot. And then Javier Francis, the young kid who's actually a sophomore, didn't play a whole lot last year. He had a double-double last time out. And he's 7'2", wingspan, 6'10", can touch the top of the backboard. Now he's probably the fourth big. But, yeah, they're a lot of fun. They play tonight against Texas Southern. If you can find a way to get to the Fertitta Center, you will be in for a treat. Houston
sold
Cougars
out, though, possibly. Tickets are tough, right?
I imagine they probably will sell out, but you can get some secondary ticket market. You can probably get into the Fertitta Center. Seattle made a trade today for a former Houston Astro. Teoscar Hernandez is headed to Seattle. Kind of solidifies that lineup a little bit more. I would say he's already a top three offensive player for that team, behind Julio Rodriguez, behind France. You could even make the case might be a little bit better than France. Are the Mariners a threat to the Houston Astros in the American League West?
You don't want to talk to her.
I'm listening. Okay. I'm listening. Yeah. I mean, look, I still think the Astros are far and away the best team in the American League West. Even if they lose Justin Verlander, I still think they're the best team. I honestly could make an argument that the Mariners are the biggest threat in the American League.
It's kind of where I was going.
To the Astros right now. Look, the Astros swept the Mariners. They swept the Yankees. So I don't know how scared anybody is about either of those two teams. But, I mean, I think the Mariners are getting very close to the Yankees in terms of talent with some of the moves
that
they've made.
And if Aaron Judge leaves, no matter what they do, they could take a step back.
So, look, I still think the Astros are heavy favorites in the AL West. I don't think there's anything that can happen this offseason that's going to change my mind on that. But, I mean, they're good. They're going to make the playoffs again next year. So it depends on what your definition of threat is, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was. I think Seattle's a very good baseball team. I think that they could potentially be a top three team in the American League, maybe even top two if they, you know, pass up the Yankees. I just feel like the Astros are loaded. Mm-hmm. The Astros still have some holes, right? Like, I think that they need two offensive bats, first base, and then the left field DH spot that Yordan's not going to be in. The pitching staff's complete, even if Verlander leaves. They still have a really strong six-man rotation, and they're returning everybody on a bullpen that was the best in baseball.
I think the reason
they don't have
why
holes.
I think they can get to where Toronto is and fight for that second/first place in most biggest competition for the Astros is because the trade was made with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Because the Blue Jays gave up an all-star outfielder. Yes, they got something in return, but the Blue Jays, aside from being in the Yankees division where they got off to such a hot start, the Blue Jays looked like one of the most complete teams in all of baseball all season last year. So you take a guy off that team, put it on a team that desperately needs more help in their lineup, and it elevates the Mariners a little bit.
I can't figure out what the Blue Jays are doing.
Oh, I think it was a good move for the Blue Jays.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Just to get more bullpen help?
Well, I think they're going to sign a bat.
Okay.
I think that they're going to replace Teoscar with a bat. They're, like, the Nemo guy's been somebody that they've been interested in. If it's not him, they're going to get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Teoscar's also going into the final year of his contract. So you're going to lose him in a season. And the reliever that they got from Seattle is a stud.
It's
like, I was looking at kind of the Astros comparison of what it would have taken to get Teoscar Hernandez. Because, look, the Astros don't have the left fielder right now. He would have been a good fit, even if it was only for a year. So I was wondering what the price tag would be for the Astros. So we kind of dug into that trade a little bit. Like, he's the Seattle equivalent to Abreu. So, like, they're getting a really good reliever who's going to be in the back end of that bullpen, pitching prospects.
Would you have given up Montero to get Teoscar Hernandez?
Mm-hmm. Crane would have asked for Vladdy Jr. in addition.
So you'd have to give up that much money.
Yeah. That's the only way the Astros are bad, is if Crane fires a bunch of players for not agreeing with his beliefs. But I think we're okay on that.
Yeah, so I like the trade from a Toronto perspective. But, I mean, I think it's a win-win, because Seattle needed some offense. They get a little bit better offensively with Teoscar. Now, can they re-sign him? I imagine they will, because, I mean, they traded for Luis Castillo, got him re-signed in a couple weeks. I don't think Teoscar Hernandez is going to get out of Seattle in a year.
What's this talk about this being the last crosstalk?
Yeah, it's the last one.
We're talking about this week because the Aggies play the next couple of days?
Yeah, our show's 30 minutes. We're going to get out 30 minutes early tomorrow. And then Friday, who knows? It depends on how they do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So we're back on crosstalk on Monday?
No, I think we're dropping it entirely. I think it's done. Oh, I think today's its last day.
I think
day.
We've been the that's only why we show had that's you. Like seen this to this point in the whole lineup anyway.
That's definitely
I don't recall
true.
John, I don't recall any times Paul's hopping on with the bench.
No.
I don't think you guys are reaching out to PC on a regular basis.
Oh, well, he's not on a regular basis.
Well, or Glenn Davis.
Or Glenn Davis. All right. Yeah, he's not
point
on
made.
Hey, I'm happy to keep doing it, but you guys don't like me. So
you like sleepy time showing up a minute before air anyway.
That's true.
So
I'll
this bother just took time away from your nap.
Yeah, I'll take 259 over 243. So I do appreciate it.
What's coming up today in the Wheelhouse?
I'll miss you guys, man. Shehan Jeyaraja talking college football at 4:30. Mike Florio talking NFL at 5:30. And a lot of Astros conversation. What to do if JV signs elsewhere.
Very good. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Houston, the Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Make Wakefield Crowbar your new sports destination.
Touchdown!
Crowbar's newly renovated sports bar has a giant 24-foot TV wall and over 45 TVs for every occasion. Watch the NFL, college football, playoff baseball, and every UFC and boxing pay-per-view with no cover. Located just north of the 610 Loop, Crowbar offers a full kitchen and bar with over 30 draft selections and signature cocktails, along with 3 sand volleyball courts and an expansive patio. Wakefield Crowbar, your friendly neighborhood sports bar.
What's the oldest licensed distillery in the world? Answer, Bushmills Irish Whiskey, since 1608. Jake Asman here. I encourage you to discover the liquid history that is Bushmills. You have the blends, White Label, Red Bush, and Black Bush, each with unique notes, perfect in your favorite cocktail. Bushmills is world-renowned for their single malts. Start exploring Bushmills in liquor stores and bars across Houston. Bushmills, the original whiskey, born 1608.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
There's a new buzz in middays.
If the Texans are in contention for the first pick, I think it'd be a real struggle for the Houston Texans. I don't care. I would surrender the first pick if it mean exposing and embarrassing Deshaun Watson. I would settle for number two instead of having 1-1 in the 2023 NFL draft if it embarrassed Deshaun. I would make that sacrifice without a shadow of a doubt.
You would. And I would be apprehensive. But again...